the Guardians getting ready to take on the Detroit Tigers. So we'll be watching that. You'll be watching that. We'll all be paying attention. So best of luck to them. We hope they win the series. Fingers are crossed. The Browns will be playing in London, and they are off today. They have a practice tomorrow, and then they'll be hopping on the plane and flying across the little thing we call the Atlantic and landing in London and playing a little football, coming up, practicing and everything else. Who should be their starting quarterback for this game, Dan Menigan? Oh, dramatic pause, or did I just catch you off guard?
Oh,
I mean, it's not like we hadn't talked about this.
I'm torn. It's a good man.
Oh, nice. Who is it, Dan?
Joe Flacco, duck and take cover.
Joe Flacco? Okay.
So my reason being is you're seeing a Brian Flores defense, which is known for completely messing with every single quarterback they go against. He messes with coverages all the time. He tries to dupe you various ways. And the last thing I want to do is send a rookie quarterback in going up against one of the smartest defensive coordinators in all of football. And I don't want to see Dylan Gabriel's first attempt to be somewhere that he has no idea what's coming to get him next. So that's why I'm willing to put Joe Flacco out there, because I have a feeling the Vikings offense is also going to be nasty. And so that way you just get a complete, to go full-blown good old JR on you, a complete slobber knocker of a game. 13-10 is what you're looking at. And maybe the Browns find a way to victory in that regard, because at least with Joe Flacco, I know I have his brain and I don't have to send Dylan Gabriel out there against one of the smartest defensive minds in football.
Let me give you one little thought before I give you my big thought on this.
Sure.
If the Guardians can start a guy or put a guy on the playoff roster who's never played in the major leagues in a playoff game, Browns can't start a guy who played 6 years of college football and has been with them all training camp and everything else in a game against the Minnesota Vikings.
How many times does that rookie touch the ball in a baseball game?
Well, we hope four if he gets four at bats.
Touches it every play.
Let me give you four reasons why I think they should make a change.
Sure. And by the way, if they make this change, I'm not going to throw a fit. I cannot state that enough.
Yeah, I understand. And if they don't make the change, I won't throw a fit either.
Right.
But there are four things that make me think they should change. 16, 17, 13, and 10.
Okay, that's the B and the I on my bingo card.
That's the number of points that this team has scored in four games. They haven't scored more than 17 points in a game. Is that Joe Flacco's fault? No, not entirely. Is it partially Joe's? I don't know. Maybe. They need better quarterback play. Oddly, you need better quarterback play. Your offensive line is beat up. Your wide receivers aren't catching the ball. And Joe Flacco has attempted the second most passes of any quarterback in the NFL. That makes no sense to me.
I should have asked Mary Kay Cabot that question. And I dropped the ball now, and that's on me. We'll get it fixed. Why do you think they throw the ball as much as they do?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't get it. I mean, Quinshon Judkins looks like the real deal. And you were comfortable with Dylan Sampson in game one to give him tons of touches.
Correct.
And he produced.
Correct.
And you were comfortable enough with Jerome Ford, even though you drafted two rookie running backs, to keep him and restructure his contract. You kept him. You didn't have to keep him, but you kept him. So run the ball. Ask a beat-up offensive line what they would rather do. Hey, would you rather pass protect against Trey Hendrickson, Aiden Hutchinson,
Micah Parsons?
Would you rather pass protect? Yeah, Micah Parsons. Or would you rather go at him and attack? That's the one thing, unless I'm missing something, that's the one thing where I think Kevin Stefanski has done a really poor job this year so far. Why aren't you running the ball? You can't pass it. Your wide receivers aren't good.
Yeah.
Your offensive line hasn't played well because it's beat up. If it's healthy and it doesn't play well, that's another story. As long as it's beat up, you can say they haven't played well because they're beat up. And your quarterback looks 40. So why aren't you running the ball? It makes no sense to me.
This is one of my great questions. I have no idea why they don't run the ball. It is baffling to me. You could save your offensive line. You've got two guards who are really good at pulling. I have no idea why they do not run the ball in the amount that they should. It is mind-numbing to me why they throw it as much as they do. It's also another part of the reason why I'm like, all right, well, send Joe Flacco out there instead of Dylan Gabriel, because if you're not going to run the ball for your rookie quarterback, you're sending him out to fail.
Let me give you something that doesn't also add up. You ready? As I said, Flacco has thrown the second most passes in the NFL. Of those who qualify, he has the second worst completion percentage. The only one worse is rookie Cam Ward with Tennessee, the number one overall pick. And their offense is just as bad as the Browns.
And by the way, he's a rookie. He should stay.
And he's a rookie. But, I mean, you're throwing the second most passes with the second worst amount of success.
Baffling. Baffling.
I do not understand it. Does it make any sense to anybody? Anybody. 216-474-0092. I don't get it. And I think Kevin Stefanski's done a really poor job there.
Or
Tommy Rees.
I have been a staunch Stefanski supporter for a good period of time.
I like Kevin. I think he can coach. But man, they're missing the boat on this.
This is baffling to me. This makes me question Kevin Stefanski and if he truly is the person who knows what he's doing with this offense and frankly with the future of this franchise, is the fact that they're just not running the ball. I thought you and I laid this out. The path for this team
The
path for this team to hit the over before the season was run the ball, rely on that defense.
Yep.
Run the ball, rely on that defense. Well, you're 1-for-2. So why are you 1-for-2 and not 2-for-2?
I do not understand.
It breaks my brain.
I do not understand at all. That's why I'm more than open to the idea of making a change at quarterback. And there's one other thought to this as well.
Okay, convince me.
It's this. I'm convinced, you're convinced, that they're going to draft a quarterback next year. There's only one scenario where they don't draft a quarterback next year. And I think this is highly unlikely. That scenario is this. You play a rookie. You get a long enough look at him to be convinced that this guy can be your quarterback. I think this is highly unlikely. I'll go ahead. Highly unlikely. But perhaps if you give Dylan Gabriel enough time, enough games, a chance to go. He gets 13 games. And he looks really, really, really good. And let's just say you end up winning a couple of games and you don't end up with a top 4 or 5 pick. It means you might not get the quarterback you want anyway. That means, okay, you draft a left tackle. You start Dylan Gabriel. You sign somebody else. You have Shadur. You're continuing to develop him. And then maybe you take a quarterback in what's supposed to be a deep quarterback draft with that second first-round pick, or maybe even a second-round pick, something like that. And you think you might have discovered your guy. I don't know that that's possible. Again, I don't know that that's possible. But I want to find out. Well, if Dylan Gabriel went out and played really well for 6 or 7 games, is that enough to convince you to pass up what could be the best guy you get next year? I don't think it is. That's why I would make sure.
Rip the Band-Aid off and make the sample size bigger.
Yep.
Okay, yep. You can convince me on that regard. I can get behind that general idea.
Because Joe's not going to be your quarterback next year.
God, no. Joe might not be my quarterback this week.
Exactly.
So you can convince me on that one. That let's increase the sample size. Let's see what the case is. I just know I'm going into next season, and I'm figuring I'm taking a quarterback no matter what. Now, the Jags being 3-1 right now doesn't exactly make me over the moon. I would prefer if they were 2-2 or 1-3, but this is the scenario that we're in. My whole thing is I want to take those two picks, and I either A, want to be in a position where Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders is the quarterback of the future. We're looking at this and going, we don't need to look quarterback in round one. Let's go left tackle. Let's go wide receiver. Or I want to be in the position where I'm like, Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is not it. I want to take both of those picks. I want to trade up and entice whoever is at the top there of why I need Nussmeier or why I need Sellers. Because those are the two for me on the top of that list. I'm still trying to figure out which one I'm hitching my wagon to.
Yeah, those are the two for me right now.
I'm getting closer to hitching it to Sellers, but we'll go later on.
Scott's in Cleveland. Hi, Scott.
What's happening, Scott?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You.
Hey. You know, I've been hearing this, you know, and I understand, you know, the two first-round picks, you're trying to possibly, hopefully not draft another quarterback. But follow me. Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year twice since people keep throwing this up. But you have to look at the coaches that he had around him at that particular time. Those coaches are no longer here. Number two, until you move on from Stefanski and Barry, we're going to see this mess every single Sunday.
Scott, let me push back on you a tiny bit on this, if you don't mind. And more than anything, because I like when people disagree with me because I might see something differently. Do you put that much stock on Alex Van Pelt being that good of an offensive coordinator to turn around and have the Patriots then fire him to bring someone else for Drake May?
But no, what I'm saying is when he won Coach of the Year, I said, look at all the coaches Stefanski had around him at that time. Those coaches are no longer here.
Right. Callahan not here, nor is Alex Van Pelt. But like Callahan, correct, I can point to, but Tennessee's offensive line.
Or Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's offensive line has been nothing to phone home about.
And see, you know what? A friend of mine told me this, and this is true, and I watched Kevin Stefanski. Great drive, the opening drive. Then after that, he's completely clueless as to make adjustments or what to do.
Scott, the first drive has been a Kevin hallmark. I think you're absolutely right about that. And
is that game plan or execution?
I don't know.
I know. That's my thing with it. Again, I have Stefanski.
He's been really good at it, though. Scott's right.
He's been very
and
good.
After that, we haven't seen it. For instance, last game, 88 yards on the opening drive, put up 3 points the rest of the way. That was it.
Is that, again,
I don't know.
Is that execution or is that game plan?
Browns are in London against Minnesota coming up. There's a decision to be made. Maybe it hasn't been. The vague response by Kevin Stefanski avoiding the question yesterday about who your starting quarterback is to me just screams you're going to make the move.
I think you're right.
Just a matter of when. You know, because all he had to say, as he has said previously this year, Joe's our quarterback. He didn't say that. So, I mean, the minute you say what Kevin didn't say yesterday, that screams you're making a change, and that's fine. That's all well and good. The thing that I wonder about and that we've talked about, Dan, a little bit, is just the way that this offense is built. And I like skill position talent, as you know. I've talked about that a lot. Yeah, I know. I know you're stunned at that. I have my sheet of paper here where I wrote down all kinds of good stuff.
No, you've never been a fan of this. If you have always been someone who has said, you know what, I would take the biggest lineman that I possibly could at any given point and ignore all wide receivers. In fact, Ray Farmer was onto something when he said that no wide receiver, or acted, I should say, because he never said it out loud, that no wide receiver should be taller than 6'1". You have always believed that exact philosophy at any given point, that it's all about getting little guys who are sure-handed with speed.
Well, here's the thing, and I touched on this earlier. I just think this explains a lot. I know that they lost draft picks when they traded for Deshaun Watson, and that's critical. Mm-hmm. I know they did that. And I'm not looking at this year's draft because we've only seen it for four games. I like it, though. Mm-hmm. I like the defensive guys they took early on, Mason Graham, Carson Schlesinger, terrific. Quinshon Judkins looks like the real deal. I think Harold Fannin has a chance to be really good. Dylan Sampson, we'll see. Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, we'll see.
Four games in, this looks like a slam dunk.
To me, the only slam dunk in the bunch is Quinshon Judkins. I think Fannin has a chance to be good. But I don't think he's there yet. I think he has a chance to be good.
The Mason Graham fandom has
Those two guys on the defensive guys. I was talking about the offensive guys. I'm sorry.
But it's kind of like this is the kind of draft where if all of them pop outside of, like, let's say, okay, if Shedeur Sanders doesn't pop or if Dylan Gabriel doesn't pop, this could save the draft job of Andrew Berry.
Okay,
this could save his gig.
Oh, yeah, but this might not.
Okay.
I went back and I looked at the previous five drafts that Andrew Berry had.
Oh, no.
Well, and I talked about this earlier for just a second. But before this last year's draft, and again, I think they might have landed some offensive talent in this last draft.
Jax, can you pass me that mouthwash bottle with the brown liquid in it? Thank you.
In the first five drafts, the Browns drafted 18 offensive players. When they go to London to play the Vikings, not one of those 18 players will be starting for the Browns. They drafted 18 offensive players in the five drafts before this year. Not one of them will be starting for the Browns in London. Now, DeJuan Jones and Cedric Tillman would be, but they're out with injury. So, even to be generous, only two of their 18 offensive draft choices before this year's draft would be starting for the Browns. I think these numbers are more damning. Of the 18 offensive players, only seven of them are still with the Browns. And okay, when I say still with the Browns, it David Bell.
Eligible to come off IR.
You excited about that?
No. That was a statement de fact more than anything else.
Jerome Ford, who you liked so much that you asked him to take a pay cut and drafted two running backs. Cedric Tillman, injured. DeJuan Jones, injured. Luke Whippler, backup. And then last year's draft, Zach Zinter, Jamari Thrash, backups.
Zach Zinter is the one that I have questions.
Yeah, except he wasn't gonna play left or right guard right now. You're not gonna beat out Wyatt Teller.
Yeah, you're right.
You're not gonna beat out Joel Bitonio.
You're right.
So I'm okay with that.
But being inactive every week is a little bit of a...
Well, that's an issue.
Question mark, especially when you're dealing with one with back issues and another with dealing with other injuries.
Here's the other thing. You ready? Of the 18 offensive players taken in the first five drafts by Andrew Berry.
Okay.
And I did as much digging as I could. Nine of the 18 are currently not employed by an NFL team. Half of the 18 draft choices. Offensive side of the ball, not employed by an NFL team. You want the list?
I mean,
two of them are. Okay. Two of his draft choices are on other teams. Harrison Bryant, tight end, is with the Texans.
Sure.
And James Hudson.
Bouncing around.
Plays for the Giants on the offensive line. These guys are not in the league right now from everything I could find. And maybe somebody's buried on somebody's practice squad, but I did as much digging as I could. I looked up practice squads. I didn't see them anywhere. These are the guys. Jed Wills, Nick Harris, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, Demetric Felton, Cade York, Michael Woods, Dawson Deaton, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Currently not employed by an NFL team.
Now, let me push back a smidge, though.
Oh, good. Well, that's a fact. How do you push back on a fact?
By putting another fact on top of it.
Oh, here we go. I'm Dan Manigan. I think I'm smart.
The majority, I am a moron. Let's get that down.
I almost had Jax doing a spit take there. That was good.
I will never refer to myself as intelligent. Here's the thing, though. On that list that you had, a lot of those guys are 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, right? Those are the guys that you're just taking dice rolls on to begin with. Demetric Felton was a dice roll. You could go down the line. Cade York is inexcusable. You should never draft a kicker. Like, that's an excuse.
I get all that. The only thing I'll say is this, Dan. How do good organizations build teams? By landing on some of their later round draft choices, at least occasionally. And this team hasn't done that, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Correct on the offensive side.
Defensively, I think Andrew Berry drafts pretty well.
But boy, if we're candid people for not getting dice rolls right,
yeah, but
then we have other problems.
That's how teams build.
The teams build by hitting on first, second, and third round picks.
You drafted
how a team builds.
Your first draft choice ever was Jed Wills.
Right, and that was as clunker-tastic as you could possibly clunker. That was horrendous. It was a terrible pick, especially around it knowing that you had Andrew Thomas and Tristan Wirfs sitting right there. You'd even take Mekhi Becton at this point.
In the next two drafts, the first pick you took, Anthony Schwartz, third round, David Bell, third round.
Third round picks, okay?
I know,
I'll give you those two.
Look around the league. Third round picks, play.
I will give you those two. So that's three.
I'm not ready to give up on Cedric Tillman yet.
That's three off of the list that you had initially. The rest of those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, which all you're doing at that point is going, all right, I like these three traits. Let's see if the rest of it can come together.
But think about it. When they go to London, of the offensive guys drafted for this team, 18 of them in the first five drafts, not one will be starting for the Browns.
Right.
Not one.
You are 100% correct. I will not argue in that regard.
You could make the argument that only two of them will even see the field, Jerome Ford, Jamari Thrash.
But my heavens, if there was a first and second round pick to be had that would have been on the offensive side, I'd feel a little bit better on it because that's how the backbone of your team is built. And not having those first round picks is detrimental. And you feel it every Sunday.
There's no question. Everything goes back to the Deshaun Watson trade that didn't work.
Correct.
So I can't disagree with that. Aaron, welcome to the show. Aaron's in Cleveland.
Gentlemen, nice to talk to you today.
And you.
You as well.
One thing to say. I've been a Browns fan, Cleveland sports fan, my whole life. And among that disappointment that I've seen with the Browns my whole life, I do remember one thing that they do really well. They run the ball down the field. I can only remember them having great running backs. I've never had them have a great quarterback in my lifetime besides Baker Mayfield, but I won't touch on that. And I just feel like it's embarrassing to sit here and watch them throw away their season, literally.
Yeah, I can't fight you. I don't know why they don't run the ball. Aaron, it's the biggest Kevin Stefanski question I've got right now, and I've been a staunch Stefanski supporter from Jump Street, and I got nothing why they don't run the ball.
His track record is he likes to run the ball.
I have nothing why they're not running the ball. It's baffling.
And Duncan's looks fantastic.
Yeah.
He looks great. I mean, there's nothing.
Aaron, let me add to that. He looks great behind this offensive line that people are giving a lot of grief to.
Exactly.
That means the offensive line can actually run block, doesn't it?
Yes.
So why aren't you running?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I got nothing. I have nothing, Aaron. It's the number one thing. If you want to call up and fire Stefanski and blow up this whole thing, I cannot push back on any bit of it because the running part is baffling to me. I have nothing.
I don't even mind Stefanski. I feel that, you know, we did go to the playoffs under him. That's exciting when you're in Cleveland. But, you know, sometimes somebody's got to kick him straight. Like, he's not receiving any, I guess he's receiving criticism, but he needs to be receiving criticism for the right reasons. You know, like, people need to come at him and be like, you need to run the ball.
Aaron, couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Again, let me point out, Joe Flacco has thrown the second most passes in the NFL, and he has the second worst completion percentage among qualified quarterbacks in the NFL.
And it's not like because your defense is down 17 by the time you know, in the second quarter or anything like that. Like, yeah. It's the other direction. These are super tight games.
And I also think, Dan, I hate to even say this. Dylan Gabriel can't lead an offense that plays any worse than the offense that Joe Flacco has led. So if your offense is going to struggle...
Jeff, it can always get worse.
It's not going to get worse than averaging 13 points a game, whatever Jeff, it is.
It can always get worse.
You haven't scored more than 17 points in a game this season.
Have you watched the last 25 years of this franchise?
To have an offense that really stinks, I'm going to at least let a rookie get out there and get some experience and think, can I get lucky and maybe this is the guy we can move forward with? Which, by the way, I don't think is going to happen. And I sure hope it does, either with Sanders or Gabriel. That would be awesome. If you could find your guy and you have your guy, that'd be awesome. I just don't expect that to happen. At least to the point where you would pass up a quarterback in next year's draft.
I agree with you completely. I would like to see it. You could talk me into starting it this week. My two fears that come of this, one of them is that the defense looks over at the offense going to the rookie quarterback and having it be a mess and just going, forget this. What are we doing here? Which happens in the NFL where one side of the ball is unbelievable, the other side of the ball is awful, and then they... defensive or offense just goes, eh. It's happened before. That's my number one fear. My number two fear is that you're not putting these kids in positions to succeed, and you need to run the ball more.
I would agree with that completely. And that said, you're in a division right now that I think is waiting to be won. I'm not saying the Browns are going to win the division.
I'm not either, but it seems like the Ravens are the snake bite team.
Look at the division. Yeah, the Ravens are beat up.
Yeah.
They got really beat up the other night by Kansas City.
A bad injury team. Metabike's done for the years. His best pass rusher. Done for the year.
Exactly. Lamar Jackson got a hamstring.
Banged up, yeah.
That's not good.
Wiggins left the game early, too. Roquan Smith left the game early.
So they're beat up, and they're 1-3.
Yeah.
Just like the Browns. The Cincinnati Bengals are toast.
Yeah.
They look just awful.
Jake Browning can't run a functioning offense right now.
Well, I don't know that their offensive line is giving him the chance to run a functioning offense.
It's valid.
You know, Jake Browning is the younger equivalent to what Joe Flacco was a couple of years ago here. Stepped in. I heard it described as the Linsanity run for Jake Browning, going back to Jeremy Lin when he was with the Knicks and had that incredible run. It's a similar type of thing with Browning, because right now he doesn't look anything like that quarterback who stepped in for Burrow 2 years ago.
No, not at all. He looks lost.
And Flacco doesn't look anything like the quarterback who stepped in for the Browns 2 years ago.